The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. In the words of our friend and Packers beat reporter for ESPN, Rob Domofsky, if you're going to make Jordan Love one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the league, which they will soon, you better make sure you can protect him. That was the thought process that Brian Gutekunst went into last night's draft with when they took Jordan Morgan, the offensive tackle, out of Arizona. And if you read more about him, there's a lot of things to like from a personality standpoint as well. He suffered that ACL injury in 2022. He was hoping to enter the 2023 draft. Obviously, the ACL set that back. He recovered. Played all of last year. Also, by the way, Arizona sucked. They were terrible. They had a coaching change in there. And in the era of the transfer portal, a guy like this could have been like deuces to that team, to that program. But he stuck it out.
Was recruited by USC, too.
It goes a long way with some of these teams who are looking to try to figure out the character of these guys. So there's a lot of things to like about him. But I think the number one thing is Jordan Love is your franchise quarterback. You best make sure that Jordan Love is upright. You know, like, it's what the Bengals didn't do for Joe Burrow, right? Like, you're going to draft Joe Burrow. He comes out of LSU. He's one of the best quarterbacks out of college football. You're like, oh, boy, we got our savior. We got our guy. He's going to take us to the promised land. And he almost did. But that offensive line was dreadful. Mm-hmm. And he was on his butt every single game multiple times. And you got to think that that has contributed to wearing down his longevity in the league. So yes, you give Jordan Love the best opportunity to succeed by getting an offensive lineman like this to protect him. I don't know if it'll be his blind side or if it'll be on the other side. That is to be determined. So where do you want him to go today? They got four picks, 41, 58, 88, 91. Gabe, where should they put those picks?
I think one of the picks today is going to be interior defensive line. All the signs are out there of, and we've talked about it with Jason, we've heard Rob talk about it. It's just kind of curious that Kenny Clark hasn't gotten that contract extension that everybody assumed he was just going to get when the season ended. Oh, they need cap space. Oh, one of the things they can do for cap space is extend Kenny Clark, get that cap number down for 2024, and then he's locked up for a few more years. I don't know if they just don't want to give him the third year, a third contract. But it doesn't seem like Kenny Clark is really factoring too much into their future plans beyond 2024. So you're going to need interior defensive linemen. You need guys that can play that interior. And I think that's something, and that's a way that you can address that position, still get somebody good who will be ready to go in 2024.
You like Johnny Newton?
I do. I do like Johnny Newton.
You trade up to 36. Because the four best available are DeJean, Newton, Kool-Aid, and Mitchell. The guy Rob says they love out of Texas. He's a receiver, which you really don't need, but they must think that he can be a number one. You go to 36. Who cares about a fourth round pick? Am I right? None of these guys are making it to 41.
I'll tell you what, man. I was listening to a little bit of the show yesterday as I was driving up to the bog. For a guy who's a sixth round pick, you really hate late round draft picks. You are just Mr. Trade-Up this year. You just want to give up all this for a guy who developed into... Yeah, you would think you'd be sticking up for all these other fourth, fifth, sixth round picks.
No.
You are just looking to ship him out of town.
Figured it out. He wants the sixth gone so he has no rivals.
There you go. Thank you.
Nailed Josh, it. Listen, I don't want to like take away your thunder here. Yeah. He literally told us that a few days ago.
Yes, he
said he didn't want anyone to be successful coming out of
trade
the sixth round because he sort of has some like stranglehold on the best player in Packers history to come out of that round of the draft. It's very bizarre, but I'm glad that we have figured it out with a little assistance from Chu. The player that you mentioned was Adonai Mitchell, I think. He's a wide receiver out of Texas. I'm not sure the Packers have talked glowingly about him specifically. I think there was a defensive back from Texas maybe that they had thrown on the list. Wasn't
Jason and Rob. Rob said it on the show up there that Xavier Worthy, the small wide receiver, 165-pound guy, was the one that they loved. Which, if you start connecting dots, the McVay offense and the Shanahan offense love those small, fast guys.
But I mean, those were three potential first round picks, right? The first three guys.
Yeah,
they all had rumblings that they could go in the first round. So if you got to give up 41 in a fourth round pick, I'm doing it all day long.
To move up to 36.
To move up to 36.
Out if that's what the math is, Gabe. I know you've got that chart there readily
okay,
available.
Okay, 41 to 36. All right, so they got out of the fourth round pick. Yeah, that would do it.
Augie from Fredonia weighing in saying, looking at the board and how it played out in the first, I like what the Packers did. I believe what they will do now is move up in the second and get either Coop or Kool-Aid and then a linebacker mm-hmm. with their second round pick. So Chewy is ghostwriting on Augie from Fredonia, apparently.
If I thought for a second that Chewy would know how to run properly a burner account, yes, I would have accused him of having a burner account years ago, but there is no way he'd be able to figure it out.
Matt from Racine also weighing in saying, my one hope for tonight is that Goody packages those third round picks into a second round pick, mostly because he's terrible in the third round.
Yeah, that makes sense too.
That poor guy is never going to wear that down, is he?
Yeah, he's got potential from last year. I mean, Tucker Kraft was the third round pick last year. He's got a potential to break it with Tucker Kraft.
I like, and I've said this before, I like Cooper DeJean. I like Kool-Aid McKinstry. I like Edgerrin Cooper. And I like Johnny Newton. Those are four guys, four picks. They won't all be there. I obviously know that, especially as they get later into the third round, because most of these guys are going to go pretty quickly, actually. But Chu, if you go up to 36, you're not picking again until 58.
That's fine.
So which of those guys would you want them to nab with 36?
I like DeJean just for his versatility, you know, and it'd work out better than I thought it would because I thought they'd have to package the twos to go up and either get a lineman and then at 25 get DeJean. So it kind of works out better. The problem is this. I think a lot of people are going to be trying to trade up, right, for those four guys. I'm not saying a ton, but I think a lot will be trading up, which obviously raises
the price.
So, I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see. We know, he's done it before with Christian Watson.
But that's the thing. I mean, it's funny how that worked. Because, oh, I guess he doesn't like Christian Watson. Oh, I guess he really likes Christian Watson. Because at the end of day one, it's like, well, I guess they don't really like him as much. And then we find out, no, they still really liked him. You know, they just liked the guys out of Georgia.
But he still stays to his word where he'll have the four picks today.
Yes.
If they give up a fourth, mm-hmm. which is what he wants.
Yes. Yeah.
So I really think he's going to do it. It's just a matter of how many teams are going to try to do the same thing.
Yeah. Josh, you have a preference of what direction they go? Again, let's go specifically. They got four picks, but it's most easy to handicap that first pick, number 41, maybe even 58, although I don't think any of these names that I have mentioned will be available at 58.
Yeah, I like Neyland, the edge from Western Michigan, as a possible option there. He's a bigger guy that could kind of do the same thing similar to LVN, just not in the same place. I do think they're going to go offensive line again today. I think they're going to hit that spot. There's a few guys that were rumored to be like the end of the first round. Patrick Paul, I believe he tweeted himself that he thought he was a first rounder, is a tackle out of Houston who can also play multiple positions. I don't think you need to do linebacker this early. I think you can kind of fill that spot and kind of just live with a guy there. I would be happy about a defensive back. And that changed yesterday during the first round when I saw Rome Odunze end up as a Chicago Bear. I said, well, maybe this position might be something we want a little extra ammo with.
You know, a little bit of a pivot here. But who do you think Goody would have traded up to get if he thought he fell far enough? Because it's not the cornerback mm-hmm. out of Toledo. Because he went at 22 and to move up, mm-hmm. three spots to get him.
Well, I think your point
he probably would have did it.
Probably was Joe Alt, but he went so early.
Yeah, I think it was one of those tackles.
Yeah.
Remember, there were rumblings that they were going to trade up to 16, mm-hmm. right, mm-hmm. with Seattle.
I think if you look at the kid from Penn State and J.C. Latham, I think if you tell the story of them sliding, I think that's where the Packers at least were interested in terms of who they viewed as the top flight tackle.
Okay. You don't think it was a receiver, though, huh?
No, I don't.
I don't think so,
You don't think?
Although, again, I think because you keep listing those top four guys available.
Yeah.
Like, if you could very easily, like, if they actually did it, I'd be, oh, I can't believe they did it. But you could easily talk me into Adonai Mitchell because he's fast. I mean, he's not Xavier Worthy fast.
Yeah.
But he ran 4.34. And if we consistently talk about the hamstring issue and the dynamic nature of the Packers offense when Christian Watson is available, but they don't have another speed guy, the only way to get speed guys is first and early second round.
So if they did that, you said that spells the end for Watson?
I don't think it spells the end of Watson. I think it's just an insurance plan should the Watson hamstring injuries continue, because you don't have another speedster like that.
How many wide receivers do you think they take in this draft?
Late.
One vertical threat.
Yeah, I'm not saying.
Yeah, I think they take one.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're finding a vertical threat late. That's the problem.
The one kid that's been tied to them is Devontae Walker from North Carolina, who is a speed guy. I think what they're going to try and do is like a MVS. You drafted him later, and you kind of just get vertical speed. So when Christian Watson gets his third hammy issue, you just slot him in and have him run 9 routes. Clear out.
Yeah. I mean, but that's the only one who I think is like sub 4.4.
Yes.
Yeah. Available after.
A.D. Mitchell dropped AD for Mitchell. Character issues.
What did Watson run at the combine?
Oh, he
was he in the threes?
I think
he
so,
must
right?
have been in the threes, right?
What are you talking about?
4.3.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No, he ran a 3.9.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, what are you talking about?
Newsflash.
That's how
flash.
We talk
he's,
in the biz. Yeah.
3?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
It's good to know. I'll work that into my repertoire. Josh, you did bring something up that I do want to discuss this morning, which is you're watching the moves made by the other teams in the division, and those are going to be your competition this year. Obviously, the Detroit Lions, until further notice, are the top team in the division, although I know the Packers have something to say about that. So how concerned are you about, let's just talk specifically about the skill positions, right? We felt very good about the depth of the skill positions and how they contributed last year, and the fact that it wasn't just one guy who the Packers had to rely on, you know, like a Devontae Adams has been in the past with Aaron Rodgers. Did they go from first to worst? Did they go from the best skill position group to the worst skill position group just over the last 24 hours? And I guess free agency and what some of the teams have done. We're going to have that conversation here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy right after this.
Doesn't matter what age you are, low testosterone can be an issue for any guy. That's where Mentality comes in, their local healthcare facility right here in Milwaukee that specifically is dedicated to helping men feel and perform at their very best. You could be dealing with low testosterone, not even realize it. That's what happened to me. I was kind of tired, groggy, just didn't feel like myself. Thought, okay, I'm getting a little bit older, doing a morning show, waking up earlier. That's why I'm a little more tired throughout the course of the day. No, turns out my testosterone levels were low. And I found out with Mentality, and you too can work with them. And what's great about Mentality is it's not just one size fits all. It's not you come in, oh yeah, your testosterone levels are low. Here you go. Go about your day. They do make it easy for you, but they also customize the testosterone treatment plan just for you. So find out more. Go to lowtusa.com. Mentality allows treatment to fit into every guy's lifestyle. Learn more about Mentality and their low testosterone treatments at lowtusa.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
If it's gotten to the point...
No, I don't think shower.
What do you mean? What do you mean you're not going to take a shower? You just told me you're offended by your own BO.
No, but I think it's deodorant, Gabe. Showering does nothing. It really doesn't.
You are wrong.
Because
you must be showering wrong.
On 94.5 ESPN.
We love the reaction rolling in from our loyal listeners on the ESPN Milwaukee Talk and Text line. And on the YouTube stream, but it does feel like a lot of y'all are very, very, very nervous about ACLs. And to quote the great Josh DiMaggio, what is this, 1992? An ACL is not a game changer. It is not an ender. In fact, some doctors say that players eclipse their previous performance and results after ACL injuries because they have stabilized that joint that was not, obviously, stable going into it. And then our guy, Jaylian. And Jaylian, I love how consistent you are in the YouTube comments. But trying to tell us that they should go for Peyton Wilson for linebacker because he's a beast, which I agree with, he is a beast. But that guy's got more injury concerns than our guy, Jordan Morgan. I mean, that's the big knock on him. He is still considered to be one of the best remaining players in the draft and will probably go in the next round or two. the concern and the knock on Peyton Wilson at the linebacker position is that he has had multiple injuries that concern GMs.
This is the Bakhtiari effect, right? Maybe. In terms of people being scared about ACLs.
But Bakhtiari was the worst case scenario.
100%. Like, and like, do we have a word that's more harsh than word? Like, I can't recall even a player, like, when ACLs were tougher to recover from, Chu, when you played, I don't recall somebody having this type of issue with an ACL.
But I don't think Bakhtiari's issue was the ACL. I think it was his cartilage.
Yes, he said as much.
Yeah.
It was the cartilage, because you can't, if you have to remove, and I remember when my oldest Dylan had it, and Pat McKenzie, who did his knee surgery, was like, he's like, I'm more worried about his cartilage than I am the ACL. ACL I can fix perfectly. If you start shaving off 50% of your medial or lateral collateral cartilage, I just threw that in there.
Yeah, we noticed. We noticed.
I forgot cartilage. I couldn't get there, so I was
collateral.
He said he was more worried about that.
For sure.
They take some out, hold on to it.
You can't replace it. Yeah.
It's just, once it's gone, it's gone. And oh, by the way, Michael Penix Jr., I believe, had two ACL injuries. Like, back-to-back ACL injuries. You didn't see that? Like, I mean, obviously, the Falcons didn't shy away from that. By the way, can we just take one moment before we get to the division and talk about Kirk Cousins? Kirk Cousins leaves the Vikings because he doesn't feel appreciated, right? Needs a change of scenery. So he goes down to Atlanta where he thinks he's going to be, you know, the second coming. And the first thing they do when they have the opportunity to go out and get another player is draft a quarterback. And not just any quarterback. One of the oldest quarterbacks in college football in Michael Penix Jr. out of Washington. So you're trying to tell me what? You're following the Green Bay method and the Green Bay pattern, and Michael Penix Jr. will sit for a couple of years and be pushing 30 when he finally takes his first snaps. Did this say to you that they're concerned about Kirk Cousins' recovery from the Achilles chew?
No, I think they're stupid. I really think they're just stupid. I mean, that's a team on the uptick, right?
Well, they were.
Well, who's going to get with the eighth pick? I mean, I could see 24, 20, like they did with Jordan Love.
Yep.
But the eighth pick, you're hoping for a multi Pro Bowl player. And you look at the players that went around there that would have helped that team so much.
Well, especially because when you decide to go get Kirk Cousins.
Yes.
When you decide that, you know what was missing from our team last year? A really good quarterback.
Yeah.
You're kind of pushing the chips in the middle. And now you're being like, well, actually, we're going to try to do both.
And then it's stupid because then you have the fifth-year option into play when he's not even going to play for two or 3 years. And you're like, the Jordan Love effect. Thank God he turned out to be pretty good. But you don't want those question marks. You know, the guy's played for 1 year. Well, what the hell do we do? We give him the fifth-year option? What a stupid pick.
It's a four-year deal that Kirk Cousins signed worth $180 million, including $100 million guaranteed.
Yeah, that was a head-scratcher.
Has the good guy, nice guy Kirk worn off after he and his agent let everyone know how unhappy he was about the pick? Because if you were on Twitter last night, every single person had.
Every single insider.
He was shocked.
Talked to somebody.
Shocked and couldn't believe this was the... He doesn't like competition.
Well, did you see my tweet? He just poured himself four fingers of Gatorade.
Yes. Yeah. That's good. But
I missed that. I wish I'd have seen
you live. Wouldn't believe how insecure these quarterbacks are, even the good ones. Like, I said something to Brett one time when they drafted Hasselbeck because I knew him from Boston College. I'm like, look out, you know, he's going to take your job. And he pouted for like 2 weeks, wouldn't throw me the ball. I'm like, are you kidding me? You just won your
First
third
of all,
MVP.
You should have known better. Okay.
Yeah, at that point, you should have.
You know how. And Kirk Cousins, to be honest with you, like the undercurrent around him is that he is very sensitive and that he can't handle criticism and that this is the type of thing that's really going to shake him. That's what they say. That's what the insiders say. That's what people who are familiar with him and have watched this whole thing kind of roll out the way that it has. And I'm not talking specifically about the Michael Penix Jr. draft of last night. I'm talking about the things that led to him leaving the Vikings and landing in Atlanta. And when he got there, he felt like, oh, you know, they loved him.
Yeah.
He's going to be the savior of this franchise. And he loved being considered that. And then this happens. Whoop, just cuts you out at the knees. 800-990-3776. I want to get to the division. How concerned are you about what they did around the Packers, the Bears, the Vikings, and the Lions, who, again, don't need to make a ton of moves because they were the top team in the division last year? Joshie has already said, you better focus some attention on that defensive back position. You got Rome Odunze now, who's going to be streaking down the field, not to mention DJ Moore and Keenan Allen. And, oh, by the way, Cole Kmet at the tight end position for the Bears. Gabe, I know that you have a lot of toad in you.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of your Packers toaddom has jumped to the Bucks. But you concerned at all about what the other teams in the division have done in the offseason, in the free agent market, and now in the first round of the NFL draft.
I mean, yeah, especially with what the Bears did. Because the Vikings, Addison has to continue to grow. Who knows if Justin Jefferson's going to be happy there? And I'm not completely sold on J.J. McCarthy, so I'm not as concerned about the Vikings. That being said, they do still have some weapons up there. But yeah, the Bears are... Man, there are no excuses for Caleb Williams, right? Like, if he cannot come out and have some success right away, it probably means he just stinks. Because that defense is really good. That defense was one of the top five defenses in the NFL in the second half of the season after they made their trade at the trade deadline. And now you look at what they have offensively in terms of the weapons. Like, there are that wide receiver group. I mean, you could make an argument, especially with, maybe eventually with Odunze. But, I mean, Allen's been one of the best wide receivers in the NFL for a handful of years. I've always been high on DJ Moore, and he had some great years in Carolina before he came over to Chicago. Now you're adding a top 10 wide receiver to that as well?
I'm concerned, but I mean, look at how good our guys played last year as rookies. As rookies.
And second-year players.
And second-year players. They're just going to get better. The Packers' problem is going to be 3-4 years from now, more three, is who do you keep? You know? Who do you keep?
But the only thing I will say, and we've had this argument on this show, and we have always made ourselves believe that having all of these guys is better than having a guy. Mm-hmm. Maybe not you. I feel like you, Gabe, have thought
I'd rather have a Swiss Army.
Like I said, we argue about this all the time on this show.
So yeah. You would rather be the Packers than the Lions, who have Amon-Ra St. Brown and Sam Laporta?
Yes.
Man.
I mean, you got two tight. Look at the personnel groupings they can go with.
If the guys continue to grow,
two tight ends, two receivers, one back. You know, four receivers, one back. Five receivers, no back. You know, one tight end. Zebra's the favorite. You know, everyone loves Zebra the most. Three receivers, one tight end. That is hard to stop, and that's how we played football back in the day. Keep that defensive coordinator guessing. Holmgren would always switch personnel, you know, because you're always going to catch them in the wrong defense mm-hmm. because they can't keep up.
Sure. And let's go with the argument that that is the best way to run an offense, to have all of those options, to be able to go with all those different personnel groupings. Can't the Bears do that now? Can't the Bears with Rome Odunze, DeAndre Swift, DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Cole Kmet, can't they do that?
They can, but there's going to be a learning curve for Caleb Williams.
And how will it be different than Jordan Love's?
I'm just saying, a couple years down
or
the
CJ
road.
Or CJ Stroud.
It's just how it... He's an anomaly, though, to come out as a rookie and play that
is
well.
Is he, though? I mean, it seems to.
But I mean,
it
you
seems
look
like
at,
there's one
right,
in every draft
right,
class
hold on,
now.
Hold on. Keenan Allen on the backside, right?
Still had 1,200 yards
I'm saying
in
on the backside,
12 games
in 2 years,
year.
Will he be there?
He might not be there next year.
All right, so Caleb Williams is going to take
Moore.
2 or 3 years to become a good... And by that time, DJ Moore's going to be gone. It's all about the window. It's like, okay, when are we loaded? You know? When are we loaded? When are we good to go? I like where the Packers are at more so than the Bears. I don't think Caleb Williams is going to come out and have a CJ Stroud type of year. Because it's the Bears, right? Where it takes... the Texans develop a guy in 1 year, that takes the Bears 3 years. I'm serious.
I agree with you.
I'm serious. It's not going to time up. I just don't think it times up where this thing that we got going here is going
to
time up.
I think it's better to be eyes wide open to what the Bears are doing.
They're going
to
be better, yes. Don't get me wrong. But if you're asking me to choose the Bears situation right now or the Packers, I'm taking the Packers all day long.
This is the best situation that any team has ever put together for a top quarterback, right? For a top quarterback coming out of the draft, because the Bears, they earned the number one pick because they traded for it a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And they've been able to build up that team. That defense is formidable. Like the Packers, I know we want to, oh yeah, we cruised into the playoffs. Things were going great. They only scored 17 points against the Bears in a win and in situation last year. That Bears defense is pretty good. Like I don't want to ignore that piece of it.
No.
Like the Bears.
But there's no guarantees. There are no guarantees. There's no guarantee that kid. Look at look at the kid that went to Carolina.
Yeah, but there's no guarantee. Yeah, but they also, like, again, they gave him a washed Adam Thielen. Like, you're probably faster than Adam Thielen at this point, pal.
Thank you, buddy.
It's very nice of you, Dave.
See, one problem is when someone says threes about me,
yeah,
they're talking five, not four or three.
I think at this point, there's enough to be concerned about here. The Bears look as good as any situation, like, across the NFL. But I also think the Bears are at a point where they have to prove it to us. Yep. The history's been too long.
Yeah.
I am nervous, but I've been nervous about the Bears and what they put together before, and it never worked out. So I'm not like, oh my God, panic, but I am keeping an eye on those Bears.
Well, and I will say this, the conversation that we had about Jordan Morgan and how you want to protect Jordan Love, they better figure out protecting Caleb Williams as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because that Bears offensive line last year, while they thought at the beginning of the year it had a ton of upside, because they had some solid veterans and they had some young tackles. Well, guess what? It wasn't healthy. When healthy, they were fine. But you have to make sure that you are upgrading at those positions as well.
But you also have to look at the coach. LaFleur is a good coach. He just has to get over the hump, right? Eberflus, I mean, nice. I like where we're at. You know? It's just do what we do, take care of our stuff and everything.
And they didn't obviously take a offensive lineman with that pick. They took Roma Dunze. There was a lot of conversation about should you give Caleb Williams one of the top tier offensive linemen in the draft. Do they still have Lucas Patrick, by the way?
I think so.
Yeah, I think he's their center.
Yeah, I think he's their center. Yeah.
Oh, so familiarity there as well, obviously.
Solid player.
800-990-3776 reaction rolling in. Folks saying that Bears may look better on paper, but until they prove it on the field, I'm not worried. That from Colby on the YouTube page as well. Chris saying there is zero precedent for Chicago being able to acquire and develop elite quarterback talent. I like Williams, but I will believe it when I see it. 800-990-3776. Are you concerned at all about what the other teams in the NFC North have done this offseason, in free agency, and after night one of the NFL draft? Gabe?
You heard Craig talking about it earlier today. Yankees are in town. You know, it'd be a great place to sit and watch any of those games of the series at X-Golf and American Family Field. And the great news is, with X-Golf and AmFam Field this year, you can purchase your single game tickets and combine that with simulator time at X-Golf at American Family Field. They can be purchased on the single game tickets website, and then you can hang out up there, hit some golf balls, watch some great baseball, and enjoy the great food and beverage options that they only have inside the stadium at X-Golf at American Family Field. The other side of that as well, if you're there on a non-game day, if you're playing a regular round of golf at X-Golf on one of their state-of-the-art simulators, any guest that makes a hole-in-one at X-Golf, them and another person get to go down Bernie's slide if you make an ace. Find out more at xgolfamfamfield.com.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Any of those things, because it exceeds, it's like, I'm sorry, I'm burping up my apple right there. That's what that was. I wasn't pausing for effect. I literally was burping
my apple.
All
right, can we just go to break?
No.
On 94.5 ESPN.
You know what makes me happy? My wife being happy. That's why I go to the jewelry center. Let's be honest, most guys don't have a clue when it comes to buying jewelry. Gabe's one of the smart ones, got the engagement ring and the wedding bands from the jewelry center for his wedding last year. They also do in-house repairs for watches and other fine jewelry, like my championship ring when it needs work. I know where I'll be taking it to the jewelry center. They have three locations to stop into: Greenfield, Brookfield, and Burlington. And if my wife can't tag along, she can just text me a picture of what she wants. The jewelry center can custom create any piece from just a photo. I'm living proof. Happy wife, happy life. The jewelry center will make it happen. Brookfield, Greenfield, or Burlington, and online at shoptjc.com.
Think you know the show better than the average ESPN Milwaukee fan? Now's your chance to prove it. It's time to play the Week in Reach You.
Five questions, big guy. You get three right, you win. You get three wrong, you lose. All reviewing things that happened throughout the course of the week and basically all the things you said. You feel confident? Feeling comfortable?
Nope.
I feel like you do better whenever you're in person.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know if it's just being in the room with all of us that jogs your memory better, but I guess we'll put that to the test right now.
Let's do it.
What is the common saying you were trying to say when you said this?
Because a lot of these coaches can put a silk hat on a pig. Is that right? Lipstick on a pig?
Hey!
Yeah. I still think there's a silk hat somewhere.
Someone said it was, you can't make a silk hat out of a sow's ear, which is a pig as
Never
well.
Never heard of that one.
Well, then that wasn't what he was looking for.
Yeah. Yeah,
fine, you got it right.
Okay.
All right, we're off to a hot start. What part of the skull were you trying to describe here?
I think there's a part of your head that just doesn't have any feeling or... The hole when you're a baby.
I need the name of it.
The name of the hole? No one knows.
There's a
name
of the hole?
Well, no, just the commonly referred to...
Oh.
Cranium?
What?
Nope.
The soft spot.
Oh,
the soft spot.
That was dumb. What's next, Atlanta?
He's more concerned about the other spot.
Yeah. I was there last night.
Why do you always feel the need to share that with us?
Do.
Why do you always feel the need to tell us when you've gotten busy?
Tick her off.
Then it's a while before you get to visit that spot again, pal.
Next question.
What happened to you that thought doing this would fix?
And I kept smacking my head, and it probably took about 12 seconds. My eyes were crossed. No, they were going different directions.
Yeah.
What's the opposite of crossed? They were going, yeah.
And you just thought that
it's
slamming your head would just...
I'm not going to lie. It didn't hurt. It's kind
of
neat.
Again, I can't shake the image of people whose televisions would go wonky back in the day, and they'd cross the living room and just smack it on the side, thinking it would go straight
in. It was like, you know, when you look through the thing, you know.
Kaleidoscope?
The kaleidoscope. That's what it felt like.
You thought he was doing something else there, didn't you?
No, I'm sure that was a concussion.
What, this?
No, I know. That's what kids do on the Jumbotron, though, by the way. And if you're not watching the YouTube stream, you are
you
really
be.
Missing out.
Oh, maybe not. Question four begins with an audio clip.
She started it.
What did you blame for? And it was something that you said.
She said skin.
And then you said...
Four.
He is on it today.
See, I think
there
it's being here.
There is about...
Wow.
Yes.
He's already got three right. He's already won for the week. Let's see if he can run it up on Joshy. What Packers-centric debate did you try to ban the use of numbers from factoring into?
Don't look at numbers, either. Numbers really
do. The comparison of Favre to Rodgers.
I still don't think you need them. Wow.
Did you just run the tape? No,
no,
he
went 4-5.
He said cranium.
Yeah. Yeah.
Soft spot.
Wow. Maybe I need to come back and stay.
That was very impressive.
I feel good.
Cooking.
I didn't even remember the numbers thing. I started to like rack my brain a little bit, but you were right there.
He rattled it off before he even heard the clip.
The whole thing, yeah.
Comparing Favre and Rodgers.
But take the numbers out.
Yeah. Can't use numbers.
What are we going off of? Looks?
That's a better looking dude, I think.
You think? Put it on the poll. Who's better looking, Favre or Rodgers?
No, let's not.
You can put that on your poll.
Speaking of polls, we've only seen one of the quarterbacks, so maybe that should count.
Hey!
All right, hey guys, this is your Q2 call. Potawatomi's brand new sports book is opening up May 3rd. That is just a few days away. It is bigger, it is better, it is bolder. And if you haven't seen the pictures that are out there of the new sports book, holy moly, it rivals the Vegas sportsbooks that you have been to when you've taken your trips out west. The all-new sportsbook venue is going to be a sports fan's paradise, and Potawatomi wants to reward you. So we are giving away 6 Potawatomi Casino Hotel prize packages. We started a few days ago. We're going to do it again right now. Caller number, Joshy, what do you think? 3 for May 3rd, the day that the Potawatomi Sportsbook opens.
Love it.
Love it. Caller number three right now, 800-990-3776, will win a Potawatomi prize pack, 800-990-3776. All of the official rules are available on ESPN Milwaukee. Caller three right now to win a Potawatomi prize pack from ESPN Milwaukee and Potawatomi Casino Hotel.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Care, you can just save yourself so much time by going, okay, we like this guy, this guy, this guy. Let's take a look
Guess
at all
what?
The different things
Binomics.
He did at the combine. I just hit my phone, and now my hand is just tingling.
Nope,
what is with
hand
you two today?
Numb.
Jesus. Do you know how to function?
I just like...
On 94.5 ESPN.
To the comments made in the locker room after an in-depth recap of every Bucks game in 6 minutes, no more, no less. Bucks in six in the Bucks Plus Audio Network. If you missed any of the game or just want to relive the biggest moments, Bucks in six provides game recaps every morning after. Hear the high-flying dunks from Giannis, the deep threes from Dame, and catch all the comments post-game about what happened on the court. Bucks in six on the Bucks Plus Audio Network. Find it now on bucks.com/plus or on Apple, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
What are you doing tonight?
Oh,
should we take care of that cough?
I'm okay.
You should tune
See
in.
See that button that says cough on it?
Nah, I didn't have the strength.
It's you Friday. Should. It's not a Monday.
He saw me covering my mouth. He could have done the same thing.
Who has volume playing in there?
No one.
So we coughed in the mic and then played audio off our phone into the mic.
It's great. Friday.
Good job, guys.
Just really close and strong.
Professional.
Sprinting through the line. Not limping at all.
We should try to find out whoever that was, though.
Yeah, I'll get on the case.
We're all trying to find the guy who did this.
That's exactly what I was thinking. What I was going to say before someone's phone rudely interrupted me. Gabe and Joshy and Alex Strofe are going to be on YouTube and Twitter tonight for the full second and third round. The Packers have four picks to make tonight. Four picks that we have discussed on this show. If you've missed any of our conversation, you can find it on Wisconsin On Demand. But before we leave for the week, I do want us to put our money where our mouths are, figuratively speaking. I'm the only one that puts their money where their mouth is, actually. Who are the Packers going to take? Give me some names. It might be too tough to go down the list and get the 88th pick and the 91st pick, but I think we can nail, between the four of us, the 41st pick.
Between the four of us, we wouldn't have been able to nail the 25th pick.
Well, I did mention Jordan Morgan once.
Yeah, but he was the next pick, though.
Yeah, I did mention him. I think we should stay at the Kool-Aid, the Dejean. I think the Patrick Paul and the fella from BYU, the tackle. And then I think you also have to look at the guys from Junior Colson, the guys from Michigan. Like, if you look at the top 30 visits thing, there's information in there. The Packers typically take 5 to 7 of those guys.
Yeah, but you got
to
figure out which ones are which.
Right.
Which ones are subterfuge.
Because, again, yeah, subterfuge was a favorite of mine last night, by the way, because Jordan Morgan did not visit with the Packers. Mm-hmm. And he visited with 9 teams, by the way.
Either did
LVN. He visited with a third of the teams in the league. I know math isn't exactly perfect, but... And the Packers were not one of them. But you mentioned LVN was not as well, and they obviously committed to him. The list that Adam Schefter put out there does have a number of names that I would like to see in a Green Bay Packers uniform. I'm going to skip over the wide receivers, although I wouldn't, you know, maybe they'll go after one with 88 or 91. Could go after a wide receiver if they think there's value there. But I like the Kool-Aid McKinstry. I like the Cooper DeJean. I like the Johnny Newton. Big on the Johnny Newton. I would not mind.
I think you got to go get... Those are the two I like the most. I like
you
the Gene.
You got to move
I
up
like
to get them.
I don't think they're lasting to 41.
No, so you go up and get them. You still got your four picks because you're throwing in a fourth rounder. It's fine.
Or just get another second round pick by packaging the 2/3. Texter called had that one earlier because of the, you know, third
package
round history.
Package the 88 and the 91. And
yeah, not really. I mean, they're going to make those picks.
Yeah. Over under 3.5 picks. How many do the Packers make today?
Over.
4.
Yeah. Think all 4?
Mm-hmm. What? I had to wait and see if 4 was over 3.5. I wasn't real confident.
Not only that, but how, other
sprinting
than four,
through the
other
line.
Than four, what's the other number? Five? Are they going to make five? Six?
I should have just said
six?
Over.
Correct.
Yes. It's what I was looking for.
Yes, I think Brian Gutekunst has shown us that he loves those picks. I made the joke earlier this week about gold member and gold. I feel like Goody is that guy with the picks. I think he makes all four picks. But again, if you love a guy, if there is a guy, maybe a cornerback that you really want on your team, Cooper DeJean or Kool-Aid McKinstry, and the only way to get him on your team is to move up, Goody has shown he can do that as well. Mm-hmm.
An interesting name to keep an eye on is Max Melton. Bull Melton, I don't know if it's his brother.
Oh.
I believe it's his brother. He's also a cornerback from Rutgers who fits the Packers' thresholds at that position. He likely won't be one of the first two picks, but you never know with Brian Gutekunst. I would keep an eye on that as a potential at the corner.
Bo is his brother.
Okay. I thought so, but then I realized I've mixed both brothers up before, so I got nervous.
It's going to be a big weekend. Packers have an opportunity to add a lot of players, have the opportunity to add a lot of good players, players who will contribute. As we have talked about, there are holes on that defensive side of the ball. There are going to be guys likely who are drafted this weekend who will be forced to play right away in Jeff Hafley's system. And I think Hafley's got to have his hands all over what we see from the Packers this weekend. Right? I would love to see a shot of Brian Gutekunst, and if they pull out on the camera, if they widen the camera, Hafley's standing there right next to him. And he's got a sheet in front of him and he's pointing at it. You know that clip that was viral last night of was it Raheem?
Arthur Blank and Fontenot.
Thank you. And Fontenot seemed like he was explaining to Arthur Blank why they took Michael Penix, and obviously we don't know exactly what the conversation was. That's what I want to see with Brian Gutekunst and Jeff Hafley. The two of them. Just sharing notes, comparing things, and killing that board with defensive players.
Hopefully it's not after an offensive line.
Yeah, what had happened was, this is why we did.
Will LaFleur turn into Kirk Cousins? Why is he like him more than me?
Possibility. Will D'Antoni is next on ESPN Milwaukee. Have a great weekend, everybody.